Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. If the goal of unattachment and letting go of the ego is to better one's own life, whether to improve happiness, peace, or something like that, aren't we just replacing one ego trap with another? Isn't the goal still selfish? So it's a great question, and you know, one of the things that I love is when we really have the courage to look at things like this, because it's really easy to take spiritual injunctions and spiritual teachings, especially things that are as broad and common and profound and important as go on a path of self-discovery, go on a path for enlightenment, and ask yourself, well, okay, but are we sure? Are we sure that that's not just another trap of the ego? So here's where the answer lies. And yes, it isn't just another trap for the ego. But as the questioner asked it, with sincerity, I assume, we should look at it with sincerity. And really, the distinction lies in what we're identifying as self. So the material stuff that I think is going to make me happier, that I think is going to bring me peace, is things for my lowercase s self, things for my very temporary, finite self, things for the physical self. Whether when most of us think of the physical body, we tend to think neck down. Or if you think neck up, it's things like my hair or, you know, my teeth or my makeup. But when we really look at the physical body, as I've been emphasizing the last few nights, it includes the brain / mind. The seat of emotion, thought, reaction is a very complex network of neurons. It's matter. It's physical matter. Yes, it's energy also. It's electricity also. It's chemical also. But in the matter versus spirit, or matter compared to spirit, it definitely falls on the matter side of the spectrum. It's definitely physical body rather than soul. So when we're looking at lowercase s self, it includes the body and it includes my physical brain, which has been habituated over the course of my life due to what we call sanskaras, or neuronal patterns, either way, it doesn't matter, we're talking about the same stuff, has been patterned to want things. It has been patterned to feel empty, or if not entirely empty, then at least less than full. Wanting of something, Whether we want something from outside, I want that job, I want that house, I want to look like that, I want that spouse. Or whether we want something of ourselves. I want to be smarter. I want to be more beautiful. I want to be funnier. I want to be more confident. I want all of these other things that are a step deeper than I want the house and the car. But nonetheless, they too fall in the category of I'm less than full. So if I'm doing anything that's meant to pad, assuage my lowercase s self, something that I want. I've got a desire to eat pizza. I eat pizza. Okay, nothing wrong with the pizza in and of itself. But what I've just engaged in is a behavior to assuage a desire that my physical self is having, whether it's coming actually from my stomach, I'm starving, or whether it's coming from my brain because eating pizza is fun and I'm bored. And the last time I ate pizza, I had such a good time. And so really, what I'm longing is friends and connection and enjoyment rather than actually food. Either way, that urge has come from physical, temporary, this intersection of time and space self. And eating it is fulfilling lowercase s self, temporary, finite, this intersection of time and space self. When we speak about selfishness on that level, it's, you know, normally when people colloquially say you're so selfish, it means you don't care about other people. You're not generous, you're not helpful. But really what it means is you're focused on this lowercase s self. And it's not always at the exclusion of others. The ego is actually very, very cunning, and it loves to do things like volunteer work. Why? So you feel like a better person. Okay, again, nothing wrong with it. Whatever the motivation for getting into things is, nothing wrong with it. And particularly if it's taking you into something that's good for others. But when we're really deep and ruthless in our honesty with ourselves, a lot of the things that we do for others, whether it's for others we don't know, we're doing volunteer work at some company that's, you know, or some organization that's benefiting people we'll never see, or whether it's doing something for our loved ones under the guise of being selfless, when actually what I'm wanting is something from you in return, even if it's just for you to say thank you. Even if it's just for you to love me more, it's still selfish. Now remember, we're not judging. We're not going good and bad. We're simply calling it what it is, with no judgment, simply witnessing. I've cooked you dinner. When I'm ruthlessly honest with myself, have I done it only for you? Or have I done it because what I'm really looking forward to is that look on your face when you see what I've cooked you and you love it and you take me in your arms and you say, oh, honey, thank you. I love you. You're the best. Now, that's neither good nor bad. Remember, we're not judging. We're not criticizing. So many of us are used to this selfish as bad, bad. You know, share your cookies. Don't be selfish. You're bad. We're moving beyond that. We're not labeling. We're simply witnessing. So even things like that are theoretically done for others, if my physical body, brain, mind is looking for something from it, then it's selfish, simply meaning that it is in service of my lowercase s self, which A, wants a new sweater and a new pair of shoes for the winter, B, wants a new pair of earrings, C, wants a better job, D, wants to be loved, E, wants to have friends and feel connected, F, wants to feel successful and beautiful. So whether it's shoes or love or anything in between, it's the need of a being that feels less than full already, okay? When we look spiritually then at the path of meditation, our spiritual practice, we're going for spiritual awakening, self-discovery, enlightenment, nirvana, moksha, whatever word we use. Is that selfish? Well, not lowercase s selfish, it's capital S selfish. Again, remember we're not judging. Yeah, it is selfish, but it's capital S selfish, which is in service of my higher self. So I'm not padding the physical body. I'm not padding the ego. I'm not responding to desires that come from my neuronal networks or my stomach or my sexual organs. I'm responding to the call of my soul, which is to re-experience itself as infinite, as expansive, as one with all. So when we allow ourselves to remove labels of good and bad, it makes things a lot easier to understand. Because if we go into it with selfish is bad, then yeah, it becomes very confusing. Well, isn't it selfish? Yes, it is selfish. Well, isn't it bad? No, it's not bad. It's exactly perfect. That's the point. The point is, the reason we are here is to experience that capital S self. Now, here's the other interesting aspect. In terms of doing for others. When I experience that, when I experience an expansiveness of myself, automatically I serve. And I serve because as my self expands, it doesn't expand into empty space. It expands right over here into Trish and right over here into the women sitting next to her, and it keeps expanding and expanding into the world around me. As my awareness, as my identification of self expands, and I realize I'm not just this body, but actually I'm connected to all of creation, then yeah, it begins with the people around us, and you're able to look more deeply into people's eyes and have a sense of, yeah, because you're able to see the self and all. And then slowly, 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 it becomes people who aren't necessarily in front of you. People into whose eyes you haven't necessarily been able to look. But the awareness has become so deep that whether you've looked them in the eye, whether you've experienced a moment of oneness with them or not, it doesn't matter, because your experience of oneness with all creation is so profound that you serve. But you don't serve because you're looking for appreciation. You don't serve because you're looking for people to say, oh, that's so, you know, God, you are such a good person. And again, nothing wrong with appreciation. Appreciation is wonderful. Gratitude is a fantastic spiritual practice. But we shouldn't be waiting for it and expecting it. It shouldn't be the thing that drives what we do. Because what that means is until and unless I get the gratitude, I'm still not full. It's still not enough what I've done. And so as we move and live and make choices in service of our capital S self, choices that are selfish, that self itself expands. Because remember, the capital S self is not limited to this body. It's not limited to my neuronal networks. It's all. And then that's how we start to live, and therefore that's how we start to serve. In the same way that I take care of my own body. If I itch, I'm going to scratch. If I injure one leg, the other leg picks up the extra weight. It's called limping. My stomach growls, I feed it. Well, as I start to experience the world as self, then whether it's trees that are being felled, whether it's rivers that are being polluted, whether it's women dying in childbirth, whether it's children dying of starvation, whatever it is, it's all self. And so selfish, capital S selfish, becomes lowercase s selfless. As my self expands, I'm serving and living and working for the full self, which includes all.
You're listening to OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. When you say that we should focus on what through me rather than what for me, does that emptying of myself mean I should have no thoughts and just let things flow the way they are? That perhaps whatever needs to happen will happen? Or should I act? Are we supposed to engage in calculated steps, or is it all just the call of the heart? So one of the concepts that we speak about frequently is Pujaswamiji's emphasis on what through me rather than what for me as a way to live. If you've been to satsang for more than a few nights, chances are you've heard some variation of that. That as we live, in order to not just clean our karma, not just attain punya or merits, not just for those, but even for the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and the meaning every moment, every day. It's not just about, you know, is it heaven or is it hell after you die or what's going to happen in next birth, but rather right here, right now. How to live in moksha, in freedom, in joy, in peace, rather than in tension and stress and difficulty. So the what through me, rather than what for me, is a key. A, of course, it's better for the world. It's better for using whatever talents, skills, abilities, intelligence, initiative we have in service. But it's more than just that. When we say what through me, really what's happening is we are putting ourselves in alignment with the flow of the universe. There's a flow in the universe, much like there's a flow in the river Ganga. And the concept of what through me, when we ask ourselves, what through me, it's literally putting us in alignment with that flow of the earth, with that flow of creation, with that flow of nature, divine nature, the will of God, whatever term we use for it. So it's something we speak about a lot. So now the question says, well, okay, if what we're asking is not what for me, so we're not moving through the world based on my desires, my ego, but rather we're asking what through me, does that mean that I don't act? Does it mean that I don't think? Does it mean that I don't plan? Does it mean that I don't make decisions? Do I just assume that what's supposed to happen will happen? And the answer to that is no. And the reason is we are acting anyway. Even if I say, okay, I'm going to just let the universe flow through me. Well, that's also an action. Neither of the options is non-action. Neither of the options is not making decisions. Neither of the options is just sit here and wait and see. Neither of the options says status quo is best. Both of them are actions. The only difference is the what for me is really in service of our lowercase s self. We spoke a lot about this the other night, the distinction between that. The lowercase s self being our ego, our false identities, our fears, our desires, all of that, how we've always lived. All of that which comes easy, all of that which feels familiar. That's the lowercase s self. This is how I've always done it. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what I love. This is my ego. This is who I am. That's lowercase s self. And when I make choices about, well, what am I going to get out of it? Where is me in this? If the me that I'm asking about is the lowercase s self, so, all right, I'm going to do that for you. What are you going to do for me? All right, that's lowercase s self. Capital S self gets by giving. The capital S self, our true self, our expanded self, understands that when I'm doing something for you, I'm doing it for me. Understands the oneness between us. And in that giving is also receiving. So when we ask what through me, it really is calling upon us all to act from that higher self. And it's not always easy, because a lot of times it shakes up, whether it's our inner world or whether it's our outer world. It shakes up our inner egos, our inner fears, our inner habits. A lot of times it calls upon us to make decisions that are not necessarily what the culture says. When I first came to India, and I knew this is where I was meant to be, I knew this is what I was meant to do, it was so right. And Pooja Swamiji sent me back to America, briefly, thankfully, but he sent me back. And when I was there finishing the next semester, the next part of my studies, everybody I would speak to would say, well, you can't go back to India yet. You're too young. First, you've got to do X, Y, and Z. First, finish this. First, get yourself set. First, do this. First, do that. Then, you know, you want to take a year or two and go somewhere and do some social work. Sure, why not? But not now. The time isn't right. And yet I knew the time was right, simply because I had such faith in God that I knew if the time wasn't right now, I wouldn't have had this experience now. That God is perfect. God can do whatever he wants. If I wasn't supposed to be in India now, and rather I was supposed to, you know, continue to sit in those classes now and continue to live in that world now, well, God wouldn't have given me this experience yet. He certainly wouldn't have given it just to dangle it in front of my face. And so when we're on that cusp, or when we're at a fork in the road, or when we're at a point where we're looking at our lives, neither saying what for me nor what through me is served by doing nothing. What for me? Of course, well, I've got to go out and grab and, you know, do whatever I need to do for my own ego. I've got to, you know, make sure you give me my due. I've got to make sure I have enough, earn enough, get enough, do enough. All the things that the ego worries about. I've got to make sure that my fears don't manifest, that which worries me doesn't come to pass. There's a lot of work to be done. The ego doesn't let you just sit and wait. But conversely as well, when we're talking about what through me, it also isn't, well, I'll just sit here. And when God wants me, well, he knows where to find me. It's not about that. It's about how can I make a decision that is to allow the universe to flow through me, to allow myself to be in alignment with that river, with that flow. And that also is action. It's just acting rather than in service of the small self, rather than in service of what am I going to earn, what am I going to gain, my house, my car, my family, my bank account, my this, my that, my fears, my expectations. Or even my small world, my children, my spouse, my parents, my house, my relations, my people, my community. Rather than that, it's an expansion into how can I really be in this river of life that flows and flows and flows and gives and gives and gives and nourishes and nourishes and nourishes. How can I be part of that? And it's not always big. Doesn't always mean you're going to go out and, you know, form an NGO or become the president of a country or, you know, do something on that level. It's all about the parts and the pieces. There's a beautiful story in the Ramayana when Lord Ram and all of his army are building the bridge to Lanka, where they're going to rescue Sita Ma from Ravan. And he sees these squirrels that are rolling in the sand and bathing in the water and rolling in the sand and bathing in the water. And he says, what are you doing? You know, we're building a bridge here. We've got a war to fight. You know, Sita Ma has been abducted. And the squirrel says, we're so sorry. You know, we're so little. We're so weak. There's not anything really that we can do to help you build this bridge. We can't carry boulders. We can't do anything of any great import. We're not going to be very good in the army of fighting the war. We can't rescue Sita Ma. But what we realized we can do is if we get ourselves wet and then we roll in the sand and then we go and bathe again right where the bridge is being built, slowly, 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 we can move a bunch of the sand from this beach into your bridge. So, okay, it may not be as much as the big boulders. It may not be as much as the big animals can carry. But at least in this way, we too can be part of building the bridge. And the story says that Lord Ram was so pleased with the devotion of the squirrels, even though in the grand scheme of things, one could certainly say they didn't make such a huge impact in the bridge, that he was so pleased that he put his hand on the back of the squirrel to stroke it and bless it. And it said that actually that's where the stripes on the squirrel come from, that they come from the hand of Lord Ram blessing the squirrel. And so it's a beautiful teaching of playing our role, asking what through me. Not everyone was going to be able to carry the big boulders. Not everyone was going to be able to traverse the bridge and rescue. But the role of everyone, even the squirrels, was so important and so deeply, deeply appreciated by Lord Ram, the incarnation of the divine in form, that it's there to teach us, don't worry what you can do. Don't worry if you're a boulder carrier, if you're a big brick layer, if you're, you know, the one who's the hero of the war. Don't worry. Figure out what part you can play. And even if it's just getting wet and carrying the sand, so be it. But allow that flow to flow through you. So, circling back, when we have these decisions to make, they're not always easy. And asking what through me shakes up the inner world, sometimes shakes up the outer world. Because everybody is used to everyone acting as what for me. So the minute that we make a different decision, it shakes people. It shakes them in their relationship to us. It shakes them in their relationship to themselves. Because everything we do becomes then a mirror for other people. If people are making decisions in their life according to their egos, according to their fears, according to their desires, according to the false identity, according to what they've always been told and they've never questioned it, and they've never, according to that, and you suddenly make a different decision, that's a mirror in the face of those who are, you know, sacrificing everything at the altar of the status quo. And a lot of times that's very threatening for people, because a lot of people don't want to look at their own life decisions. And so this is where it requires sometimes some internal courage. But we remember, of course, that courage comes from the root, the same as the French word cœur, which means heart. So courage is not, I'm going to push you out of the way, or I'm going to hurt you to make my decision. I'm going to hurt you to carve my path. But rather it means I'm going to do it with an open heart. An open heart of love and compassion for the world. But also an awareness that I, not so much lowercase s self, but my capital S self, am also part of that same world. And so the same love and compassion and care and service that I'm looking to give the world, I also have to extend to myself, to my true self.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. What is real love? Well, it's such a beautiful question, because love itself is really, I believe, the energy that keeps everything alive. And it doesn't matter if it's between a man and a woman. A man and a man, a woman and a woman, a man and a tree, a woman and a tree. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's with a romantic partner, with your parent, with your child, as I said, with your tree, with a sunset, with the divine, in form, not in form. Because here's the thing about love. Love is such an energy that regardless of whom or what you really love, if the love is real and full and complete, it actually overflows into the rest of your life. This is why, you know, in the workplace, somebody walks in and everybody says, oh, someone had a good weekend, right? They don't have to tell you. You understand. Your colleague is glowing. People who are in love are much better tippers. Now, they're not in love with the waiter or waitress. They don't even know the waiter or waitress. But there's something about the quality of being in love that overflows. And even if my loved one is not sitting at the table with me, I'm in love with the world now through that experience of love. And so really that when you say between a man and a woman, whomever we love, whatever we love, is the pathway through which we experience love. And here's how you know that. Let's say you're sitting in the room with your loved one and you're melting, you're merging in love, you're looking in each other's eyes and you're swimming in that place that only love can do. Then your loved one gets up and goes into the kitchen to get a glass of water. Are you any less happy? Do you feel love any less? The loved one says, I'm going to go out and buy some ice cream. I'll be right back. Do you feel any less love? No. Now, this is an important point. If that love were due to the physical presence of your loved one, then every foot they took away from you, your joy would decrease. These air conditioners give us cool air. Those of you sitting very close to them in the back are getting much more cool air than, for example, I am up here in front. Because the machines are back there. And every foot you walk away from them, you're getting less and less cool air. Go to the other side of this wall, you're going to get none. But love, through the one you love, what happens is it actually awakens love within you. And so whether the loved one is in the bathroom, in the kitchen, at the store getting ice cream, at work, on a trip to another city in another country, your experience of love doesn't dissipate because it's in you. The loved one has been a path to open love in you. And that's the power that love has. And so when we say we're going to be in love forever, fullness, completeness, well, it has to be therefore in love with that which is eternal. See, the body keeps changing. If you and I are in love and you go away for the weekend or I go away for the weekend and I come back 3 days later, I'm not going to be the same person who walked away from you. My skin cells have sloughed off and regenerated. You didn't notice, I didn't notice, but I guarantee it's happened. Everywhere we go, it's how forensic science works. Everywhere you go, you're leaving bits of your skin. That's what happens. Sloughs off every few days. If you and I were separated for months or years, every cell of my body would have regenerated, my blood cells, my organs. I would come in front of you without one cell of the original being you loved. Which means that if we're making promises, if we're taking vows to love forever, well, then I better be loving something other than your body. Because that body keeps changing. Doesn't mean I can't appreciate the body. God has given us beauty, whether it's the beauty of a human body, whether it's the beauty of a sunset, the beauty of a tree, the beauty of the moon, for us to appreciate it, I'm sure. My faith in God is so complete that I don't think anything is given for no purpose. I don't believe there would be the beauty in the world and that we would have been given eyes with which to behold the beauty in the world. Eyes that are able to see that the spectrum of color we can see, that are able to hear this entire range of sound we can hear. If we weren't supposed to see and hear and enjoy and appreciate. But there's a difference between appreciating the form and the form being what you're loving. So if our love is going to be eternal, or even if you're not ready to go to eternity, if you're prepared to love for a decade, you better figure out how to love something other than the body. And that's what love is. If it's just the body, it's lust. Lust isn't just sexual, it's physical in general. If it's your body I'm attached to, that's lust. But if it's really love, then it's soul, it's spirit, it's essence, it's consciousness. And if I'm connecting to your soul, spirit, essence, consciousness, well, you can't do body to soul. You can do body to body or soul to soul. So the beautiful thing, this is why being in love feels so good. In order to love your soul, I have to come at it from my soul, which means I'm living from my soul, living from spirit, living from consciousness. Yeah, my hands may love to touch you, my eyes may love to see you, my ears may love to hear you. But the real love of you, not what you do, not what you look like, not what you sound like, has to be soul to soul. And so that's the only essential ingredient to everlasting love. Because then, of course, when the body-mind makes mistakes due to our karmic package, due to anger, due to greed, due to lust, due to confusion, due to fear, I'm connected to the soul. I'm connected to something much deeper than the you who just yelled at me. I'm connected to something much deeper than the you who's in a bad mood. I don't need to change your mood in order to feel okay. Rather, I can sit with you soul to soul, even when your mind is in a bad mood, because I'm not threatened by it. The connection is deeper. And the other piece, which my Guru Pooja Swamiji always says, is the mantra to a happy marriage. When you're actually talking about marriage and not just general love, but actually married love, is the mantra is, okay, honey. Whatever the other one says, okay, honey. If you can perfect that mantra, you'll have a very happy marriage. So if you can do both, from the soul to soul, to the mantra of okay, honey, you'll have all your bases covered. But for those of you who aren't married, don't worry about it. Because the gift of love is not something that exists exclusively in a man-to-woman marriage. The gift of love is something, as I said, that can come with any relationship. Human to human, human to tree, human to animal, human to divine, human to river. Doesn't matter what you love. Just love. Because through that love, you're going to uncap the source of love within you. And that love within you, when it flows, that river of love, when it flows within you, is that which brings you everything. All of that we're looking for comes comes on the river of love. And it's something that every one of us can do. Doesn't matter if you're married, if you have a romantic partner. Doesn't matter if you don't have any friends. Doesn't matter if your parents aren't living and you have no children. Every one of us has the capacity to love. Because remember, as I said, love is within us. The other person has just been a path to it. So whatever our path may be, find something. Something you can love. It can be a plant. It can be your pet. Really, it should be alive. It should be alive. Because then there's an experience. It doesn't have to be. As I said, it could be a sunset. But ideally, if there's a pulse of life to pulse of life with anything that exists, anything that alive, that's alive. I've experienced some of the most beautiful moments of connection with trees, literally. Some of my most beautiful moments have been hugging trees. So you can feel it anywhere. And then once you experience it somewhere, once that source has been uncapped, then you have the ability to access it anywhere. And then it just flows.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. When this moment, this breath is enough, you have experienced peace. When this moment is not enough, when you can't be here in this moment because you're worried about what you're going to get in the next moment, you'll never have peace. When what happened in previous moments have encroached upon this moment, you won't have peace. When this moment, right here, right now, this breath is enough. Doesn't mean you don't have goals. Doesn't mean you don't have plans for the future. It just means that right here, right now, in this breath, you are okay. You are enough. It's all enough. That's peace. What is the way you got it? By letting go of the next moment and the last moments. Because that's what encroaches upon it. You cannot be peaceful yesterday or tomorrow. You can only be peaceful right now. Now you're here. But that past has encroached upon the present. The only way to be in the present is to leave that behind. Or the future. As we work with finding the space between thoughts. Because the thought is always going to be either about the past or the future. It's what our thoughts do. As I'm able in meditation to access that space between the thoughts, and as that space expands, well, into that space comes peace. Into that space is peace already. That's what where peace lives. Pooja Swamiji always says, he says, you know, it's very simple. We all say, I want peace. I want peace. He says, but if you take away the I and you take away the want, what is it that blocks the peace, the I and the want, the ego and the desires? So peace is there. But I have to be free of yesterday and tomorrow, of I and of want, in order to experience it. And if I've experienced it, then that's the way. It's the only way. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on OM Times Radio.